2 Samuel 23, which tells us of the treachery of the Ziphites betraying David to King Saul. Which is to say that this psalm, right, Psalm 54, is about the betrayal of the Messianic King. Right, the careful reader of the Psalms, and I count us among those, should not then have very much difficulty at all in recognizing the correct interpretive setting of the psalm, right, or discerning the voice that prays it. This is a psalm properly understood from the mind of Christ, as is Psalm 116 today, which you will see if you read back through it. Because both of them describe both the anguish of Christ's betrayal and his full assurance of vindication by the Father in the resurrection. Right, this is the broad and the chief meaning of both of these psalms that we have before us. So the immediate and local setting of Psalm 54, however, is a prayer of David while he is out in the middle of nowhere, fleeing the Ziphites and King Saul. Right, he's terrified. David is out there hiding in caves and behind trees all over this hill country of Judah. So what that means is that he's down south a little bit, right, in the hill country. And when the Ziphites become aware that David is down there in their territory, just hiding about while King Saul is looking for him, you know what they try to do? They try to root him out and find him so that they can turn him over to King Saul and King Saul can give them some kind of gift or favor that only a king can give. So they're seeking to betray David for them. And so David, surrounded in a strange land by enemies on all sides, fleeing for his life, is in terrible, terrible danger. And so in this state, he does what is right. Because what does he do? He prays to the Lord. Right? When he's in danger, he prays to the Lord. He cries out to God for help. Verse 1. O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer and give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. And this is exactly the right kind of thing for Christians to do and to ask when they find themselves surrounded by enemies on all sides. What we've got to realize about this psalm is that when David and we ask this of God, it does something to him. Right? It does something to us. Prayer does something to our being. As he's beseeching God to intervene for him, right? He's asking God for help. Right in the middle of this prayer, David realizes that right then and there, he is already in the hands of God. The Lord is right there with him, even as he's asking this prayer. He is one of those who has indeed set God before him. And that his vindication, his rescue is certain because of it. Because the Lord is with him. It's as though David is saying, my enemies are encamped all about me. And I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this. I don't know if I'm going to live through this. But what I do know is who the Lord is. And I know that whether I live or whether I die, I am in the hands of God. I know the outcome. I will arise and go to the Lord. He will deliver me in all things. And so, as he is still surrounded on all sides, all around him are his enemies. All around him is death, and it's closing in, getting closer and closer. And with the prayer for deliverance and salvation still on his breath, that the Lord take this cup away from David. He continues with this confession in verse 4. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. Or in other words, maybe more familiar words, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nonetheless, not my will be done, your will be done. In the moment when David is out there in the Judean wilderness, his immediate deliverance from danger is in no way apparent. And it's important to realize that David does not speak here as a prophet. David here is speaking by faith. David does not know whether he is going to escape physical death and ascend to the throne of Israel. He doesn't know this. For all he knows, the Ziphites may very well capture him. They may very well turn him over to Saul and he be put to death. But David is faithful to the Lord. And as such, he knows and he trusts that God works all things, even death, even martyrdom, together for those who love him. And so he's able to conclude. He says, with a freewill offering, I will sacrifice unto you. So, not under compulsion, not under obligation, but a freewill offering given because David wants to. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble. And my eye has looked in triumph on my enemy. And so David is saying that no matter what comes of this situation, right, no matter whether they find him or they don't, whether they turn him over or they don't, David knows that the Lord has delivered him from sin and from hell, right, from every trouble, to use David's language. And it's evident from the continually sort of changing of tense, right, in this psalm, right, the praying to God, and then declaring back to us, and then back to God again. It's evident that it's then, while he's praying, while he's surrounded by enemies and asking God to stop all of this that's happening to him, that David comes to this realization. And even though David does not know what the Lord will do, he knows and he trusts that it will be good for him. Beloved of the Lord, this is for us the foundation of prayer and the very heart of faith. It's when we're on our knees asking God to come to our aid, to help us, that we humans are in our most natural state. This is the way that we were created to be. Because this is the relationship of children to God their Father. Right, sheep to shepherd, beggars to the king. The Lord is good in all things. He knows what's best and he will do it. That is what the Christian people are banking on. And we know that God will do it for us. And even though David asks for an earthly benefit here, right? For earthly gain, right? That he would be saved from the Ziphites, spared of death, that he would be vindicated. He does so unashamed, just as we ourselves should do before God our Father. Because at the same time, David surrenders himself to who he knows God is. Because he knows who God is. And he trusts that the Lord will do good to him. David doesn't know what will come of this business with the Ziphites and Saul. But he does know what eternity holds. Because he knows what the Lord holds. The Lord holds David. in all cases, no matter what comes his way. He holds David just as tightly as he holds you, baptized child of God. David has a Savior, his own Son and Lord, the Messiah Jesus, who will uphold his life no matter what comes his way. Now, like our prayers, the Psalms can be categorized in a multitude of ways, but chiefly they are two things, really. They're always praise or they're always petition, or some combination of the two. Right? We may complain, we may lament, or praise, or even ask God for vindication, as David does right here in this imprecatory psalm. Right? Psalm 54 is an imprecatory psalm. It's asking for vengeance. But in all cases, prayer offered in the name of Jesus, it's always prayer asking God to be who he is. True to his mercy, true to his compassion, true to his response to all of the injustice that we suffer in our lives. To thank God is to praise him. To ask him for justice, for the wrongs that have been committed against you, is to honor him as the only one who knows what justice truly is. Because you and I don't, right? We get it wrong all the time. God is the only one who knows what is just. It's to confess that he is good, and I'm not. In the same way, the confession of our sin, of our hurt, and our anger and fear is to beseech the Lord to be merciful to and to forgive me, and to confess that he alone is our rescue and is our refuge, and that he is those things for us always and without ceasing and even into eternity, no matter what evil comes our way. And this, brethren, is what it is to be a Christian. It is to believe with David that the Lord has delivered us from every single one of our enemies by the death and resurrection of his Son, even when we are suffering in this life, even when we are dying, when we are surrounded by enemies on all sides and are betrayed, even when it seems like the wicked are prospering in this life and justice has failed. It's to confess that God himself is our help, that the Lord is the upholder of my soul, and in his Son, he has already delivered us. We are already rescued in Jesus. Now, to say that prayer is an honor or maybe a privilege, that really is too small of a thing, I think. It's probably much more accurate and closer to truth to say that it is a right that has been given to us. Why? Because Christ has made you sons and daughters of his Father. He has bestowed this on you as a right of being united to him. It is now your right to call on God even as Father. He has not just simply invited you to pray. He has decreed it to be this way. This is the relationship that now exists between you and God, that you may come to him with anything and everything, all things, no matter how simple you think they are, how small and insignificant you think they are, you can come to God your Father with them. And more than that, he wants you to, because he loves you as a dear son and a dear daughter. This is now the relationship that exists between you and your Father. It's who we are now in Jesus. Not just beggars before the King. Not just sheep who need the protection of the Good Shepherd. But we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And it's been decreed to be this way by Christ Himself. And so also we are those who rejoice in great awe, who thank and praise Him as the natural response to His mercy and His grace and His pity. Right? Not as some sort of flattery or because we think that He deserves it, even though He does. But because there's no other way for human creatures to respond to such wondrous and magnificent love than to completely abandon ourselves, to forget all of our shame and pride as we stand before Him and just sing His praise and pray to Him. Because the Lord is good and has made us able to confess and to praise and to sing and pray in every situation, every estate that we may find ourselves in this life. That we can pray with our brother David. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. And He is that in all things. In Jesus' name. Amen.